Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to talk about North Texas athletics with Brett Vito of the Denton Record Chronicle in Denton, Texas. You can read Brett's work at dentonrc.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett Vito, B-R-E-T-T-V-I-T-O. So North Texas, one of the six schools which will join the American Athletic Conference on July 1st. North Texas joins the American after spending the previous 10 years in Conference USA. There are some shocker connections with North Texas. North Texas was a member of the Missouri Valley Conference from 1957 to 1975, so they overlapped there all of those years. Besides MVC membership, there might be two other things that people would be interested in. Harry Miller coached Mean Green basketball for one season before he came to Wichita State in 1971. And then another former Mean Green basketball coach, Tommy Newman, played on Wichita State's 1965 Final Four team. He coached the Mean Green from 1983 to 86. So, Brett, if you are making your way south and you drive by campus on I-35 near Dallas, you would probably notice the new football stadium there at North Texas. We know football is important at North Texas. It's important to the AAC. They've got a strategic plan called Take Flight as they are joining the new conference. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere, the momentum that exists for athletics at North Texas.
Well, I think it's just an interesting time for North Texas when you think about it. They're kind of going through a big transitional period just in general at North Texas because of a myriad of reasons. The biggest of all being they've changed a lot of the key personnel in athletics over the last 18-ish months or so. Ren Baker, their athletic director, who came in and did a tremendous job over 6 years here, he was going to get hired away by somebody, and it turned out to be West Virginia. So when he left, they turned around and promoted Jared Mosley, the longtime number two guy who had been in that position for 6 years. They moved him up to athletic director. He was previously the AD at Abilene Christian and also ran the Texas Sports Hall of Fame out here in Texas. So he was promoted. They have a new football coach. They hired in Eric Morris, the old Washington State offensive coordinator who had a long stint as the head coach. Well, not a long stint, but he had a stint as the head coach at Incarnate Word. They also lost Grant McCaslin, their basketball coach, to Texas Tech, and promoted Ross Hodge, who was his longtime right-hand man, to be the head basketball coach there. They've got a new women's basketball coach in, and they've also got some Olympic sports coaches that are new. They're in the process of finding a new golf coach, though. Track coach is finishing up his first year. The volleyball coach just finished up her first year. So it's kind of a different deal, you know, or it was going to be going forward just because of the amount of turnover there has been just over the last year or so.
So North Texas left the Missouri Valley, was an independent for a while, wanted to join the SWC, I found out. Hayden Fry, the football coach, had big visions for North Texas at that time. So independent, time in the Big West and the Sun Belt, Conference USA. So why is joining the American, why is that the good move at this time for North Texas?
Well, I think just because of the teams you're going to be playing in there. If you look at North Texas's history, you mentioned Hayden Fry trying to bail for the Southwest Conference. That was, you know, a bold move back then. But, you know, in hindsight, it probably didn't work. It definitely didn't work out the way they hoped it would. You know, Hayden took them out of their conference, the Missouri Valley. And at that, you know, then they landed being an independent. And then they kind of went through this big, long journey of going to the Big West and then going to the Sun Belt, and then finally finally went to Conference USA. And that was a big boost for North Texas because the long journey after they were an independent there, Texas is kind of a different deal just because so much of everything down here is focused on just what happens in Texas. And North Texas really fell off the map for, you know, decades on end because they weren't in a league with any other Texas schools, which was really detrimental. You know, the Sun Belt, they were the only Texas team in the Sun Belt, and they were the only Texas team in the Big West. And so they were kind of off the radar to a large extent. Moving to Conference USA really helped because that put them in with UTEP, which is, you know, kind of an established Division I school, especially in basketball. And they were also in with UTSA, which has kind of made a quick rise in football, which is what matters down here. You know, and they were also in with Rice, which is another longtime member. So longtime Texas school with a Division I football program. So, you know, that really helped them. And then there was a big, you know, jumping to the American is going to be a terrific deal for them because it gets them, you know, into more of a situation where not only is Rice going to be there and UTSA is going to be there, but you're going to also be in with some other regional schools that are, you know, important down here, like Tulsa and schools like that, you know, so you have more of a regional feel there. And then you also have some schools that are spread out across the country that are pretty prominent that they'll be in the league with. So they're real excited about, you know, the possibilities of what the American brings to them.
So the campus at North Texas in Denton is about 40 miles from SMU in Dallas. How significant is it for North Texas to be in the same conference with SMU?
Oh, geez, that one totally flew my mind there. Yeah, that was probably the biggest benefit, too, is because that's a long, long time rivalry between North Texas and SMU. And SMU fans would try to string me up for saying that they're rivals because, you know, SMU views North Texas as kind of a fly on the wall, a step down or whatever. But that is one of the longest running series in North Texas history. The first time they played was in 1922. And they have played, they played off and on through the years, but it is one of the absolutely longest running series in North Texas history. And it's one that SMU has completely dominated. And there would be nothing that would do more Texas more good and do more for their morale than to turn the thing around. Because right now, SMU leads the series 35-6-1 and has won 7 of the last 8. Since they started playing, 7 of the last 8, they started playing regularly again in 2014. North Texas won that first one in 14, but has only won one since. And that's, you know, that game really dictates the kind of the feel around the program early in the season. And last year was a rough, rough one because they got blown out in that game. So being in the same league with SMU is going to help them tremendously just in terms of, you know, being visible in the Dallas area. Last year was 48-10. And so, you know, if Eric Morris can win one of those games or make it super competitive, I mean, that would do him a whole heck of a lot of good.
So we talked a little bit about Hayden Fry. We mentioned him. Hit us with some other important names from the history of Mean Green Athletics. There's one that I think a lot of people will recognize. Who should we know? What's the short history lesson on Mean Green?
Well, I think the ones that people always talk about are Hayden Fry and Joe Green. And, you know, there's some other football guys that were really great. There was Cedric Hardman, who played a long time in the NFL. And then you've got Abner Haynes, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs and is a Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Famer here. One of the big sources of pride for North Texas is they were one of the they were at the forefront of integration. So Abner Haynes was he was one of the first black players in Texas college, major college football, along with his friend Leon King. They just recently opened. I think it was in the last couple of years. I'm fishing for the date here. I don't have it in front of me, but they just opened a pavilion to honor them. Yeah, it's right outside the Athletic Center. It has busts of both of them. And, you know, it's just a really neat deal. That's a big source of pride for North Texas because those guys came in back in 1956. So long before a lot of these other places in Texas integrated, including SMU and other schools down here, Abner Haynes and Leon King joined the freshman team at North Texas. So that's a big source of pride for the school. And when you talk about history, one of the fun stories about North Texas is everybody assumes that Mean Green came from Mean Joe Green. And that's not the case, which I don't think a lot of people know. Joe was part of a great defense back in the day. And the old SID, his wife came to him and said, "We need to come up with a nickname for this defense." Because it was a terrific batch of guys that just dominated. And they came up with the idea to call them the Mean Green. And of course, Joe's playing on the team at the time. So they ended up being known as the Mean Green defense. He gets drafted by Pittsburgh, goes to Pittsburgh. And everybody just assumed at that point that he was the basis for that nickname. And they started calling him Mean Joe Green. Well, Joe corrected people the first few times that happened, but eventually he got tired of explaining himself and eventually relented, and he became Mean Joe Green. And now everybody thinks that the Mean Green came from Mean Joe Green, when it actually came from the greater defense that was there at the time. And there are a bunch of really good players on that team that went on to play in the NFL. But that's where the nickname Mean Green came from, was from the defense back in the day that Joe was a part of. And it eventually morphed into kind of labeling him as a player in the NFL, which not a lot of people know. And I think it's kind of a fun story that way.
So Joe Green, defensive lineman for the Steelers, as you said, which is where a lot of people would know him from, played at North Texas from 1966 to 1968. So he would have played against the Shockers in Missouri Valley Conference football at that time, because North Texas is also known as the Eagles. That would be the other nickname, official nickname. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, that's another interesting tidbit. There's kind of, I guess, the example or the parallel is maybe Alabama. A little bit with the elephant. When I came here forever ago, they still use Eagles for like the Lady Eagles for their women's basketball team. And there was a big movement in there to do away with Eagles as like an official designation for their team. So they go by Mean Green across the board, but you know, your mascot is Scrappy the Eagle. So it's kind of it's a little unique in that way. So they're known as the Mean Green, but I mean, there's nothing that really equates in terms of like the mascots, but they do have Scrappy the Eagle is kind of their mascot, but they go by Mean Green across the board now, which makes them a little unique. You know, there's all these kind of, all different kinds of, you know, you think of Boston College and various other schools like that have Eagles, or, you know, there's a number of other examples. But you know, Mean Green is kind of really unique. And that's one thing that they've kind of stuck by. And I think it was probably a pretty smart decision, because it kind of stands out and gives them a unique deal that they have that's all unto their own.
Definitely. So like Alabama is the Crimson Tide, but you see the elephant on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Same kind of deal. I guess that's one example. There's a few others. I'm spacing them out off the top of my head, but I think Alabama is probably a good example of kind of a similar parallel there.
Right. I guess Iowa State and the Cyclone would be very,
yeah, that's another good
similar
one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shocker fans, they travel, especially for basketball. If somebody's coming down to the Super Pit to watch the Shockers play North Texas, where should they go? What's the restaurants around campus that would be good for somebody to eat at?
You know, the thing that I always suggest to people is it's not so much there's places around campus, but the best place to go if you're coming to town is go downtown. North Texas is Denton is one of those towns that has been around forever. So there's kind of an old timey square downtown. And a number of years ago, it was kind of dead. You know, there wasn't really much down there except for a couple of mini malls and the newspaper office, you know, so some antique stores and stuff like that. And then lo and behold, they put a light rail station in Denton. And that just really revived everything, because, you know, people would take the light rail down to Dallas for work or whatever. And when that came in, a whole bunch of restaurants and bars and different places like that went in around the big courthouse, the big, you know, stone courthouse downtown. And there's just a bunch of terrific places around there to go hang out and eat and things like that. One place that I always really like is LSA Burger. It's kind of if you're coming to town for a game or whatever, that's a great place to go, especially depending on the time of year, especially for Wichita State people or your basketball people. You're coming down in the fall when the weather might be pretty good. And it's in an old brick building downtown that they converted, and it's like three stories. And it's real, really kind of cool on the inside. And then they've got a rooftop patio up there. So if you go on a day when it's nice, you can go up to the rooftop patio and kind of see the skyline and everything around town. And it's real, you know, it can be, if the weather's good, it's really nice just to sit up there and just, you know, have dinner. And then if you want to go a little upscale, there's a a longtime local restaurant called Hannah's Off the Square down there, which is a little bit off the square, but it's one of those places you can go for a really nice dinner, you know, glass of wine or whatever, if you want to do those kinds of things. But downtown is the place I always suggest to people.
Downtown Denton. Okay. Well, it was a great basketball season for Conference USA. North Texas won the NIT, where it defeated conference member UAB, Florida Atlantic, went to the Final Four. Just a great season. And all three of those schools are coming to the American on July 1st. Why did Conference USA hit it so big in basketball last season?
You know, I just think the stars kind of aligned. You know, and some years teams just have the right mix of guys, the right batch of guys. And that was really the case with the schools in Conference USA this year. If you think about it, North Texas had, you know, since we're talking North Texas here, they, a couple of years ago, they signed the junior college, the guy was the MVP of the junior college national tournament, a guy named Tyler Perry. And this will be of interest because, you know, with Kansas and stuff like that in Kansas State. So he was, arguably one of the greatest junior college players in the country. And the thing with North Texas's staff was Graham McCaslin was a long, long time junior college coach, and his entire staff, Ross Hodge, Dream Dallin, you know, all those guys spent the formative parts of their career in junior college. They had just a myriad of junior college connections. They just kind of seemed to get all the tips, and every good junior college player that was on the market seemed to end up in North Texas. And they rolled the dice on Tyler because Tyler was originally committed to another school, and then that fell through. But everybody was real afraid of him because he's literally like 5'9", 5'10", but he can just shoot the heck out of the ball. And so they got him. He ended up being a terrific player. They surrounded him with some really good talent, Abu Usman, you know, some other guys like Aaron Scott. And they just put it, and it just all kind of came together where they had a real terrific team, and they ended up losing to UAB in the conference tournament, but they kind of regrouped in the NIT and made that big run. So they had that really special team, right? You're thinking Tyler Perry, he ends up on the transfer market, he ends up at Kansas State. Abu Usman ends up on the transfer market, and he ends up at Xavier. They just had a lot of talent, and that was kind of true across the league. Florida Atlantic just had a bunch of really, really, really good players that played well together. And they were the classic example. And since you guys are a basketball school, you kind of know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the best teams in college basketball are a bunch of guys that are older and have been around. And maybe they weren't the highest rated guys, but they continue to improve once they got into college and they play really, really well together. Florida Atlantic was that kind of team. And then UAB had Jelly Walker, who is arguably one of the best scorers in college basketball. And, you know, Middle Tennessee had a really good team. There's just a lot of really good teams that just, you know, we're all kind of in one of those special years where everybody, you know, they had the right mix of people. And so it was just one of those years the Conference USA was really good. And, you know, North Texas was one of those teams for sure. And so that's kind of how it ended up working out. And, you know, and then Grant kind of parlayed that into getting a Texas Tech job.
Right. So Grant McCaslin, former Baylor assistant. So there's a link there with Paul Mills, the new Wichita State coach. So he left North Texas, went to Texas Tech, hired Ross Hodge, or elevated him. He had been assistant coach there for six seasons. And Ross coached two former Shockers that people will remember, Ramon Clemente and Clevin Hanna, at Paris Junior College in Texas. Ross Hodge, was he the obvious choice to replace McCaslin?
I think so. I mean, I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion, and it was a weird, the way it played out was really weird. You know, the thing was, I think Grant was kind of, as soon as Texas Tech moved on from their last coach, I think he was kind of the guy they were targeting anyway, but then they ended up landing in the NIT, and then they had that forever long run in the NIT. And of course we asked about it, everybody asked about it. And I think it was kind of everybody kind of knew it was a secret that wasn't really a secret that he was going to go. You know, everybody had their story written. So as soon, because everybody was threatened with death and pestilence if they, you know, violate, you know, the people in Lubbock, you know, they were threatened to don't violate the embargo. We know that this is the guy, but don't do it. And then of course, one of the TV stations out there did it, but everybody had their story ready. So as soon as North Texas won the NIT, it was like, 10, 15 minutes afterwards, everybody just went ahead and somebody, you know, went ahead and spilled the beans, and then everybody posted their story that they had written 2 weeks ago kind of thing. So at that point, you know, they're kind of late in the process. You're talking, it's already almost April. And I think everybody kind of figured it was going to be Ross anyway, because, you know, Grant always kind of described them as co-coaches, because Ross completely coached the defensive end of the floor. Like, they came to get the backstory is when North Texas was looking for a coach, and they decided to take McCaslin. The first thing he did was call Ross, who was one of his old buddies from the junior college ranks, and said, "Hey, let's go." Or they were at, well, let me back up a little bit. So McCaslin was at Baylor. He takes the Arkansas State job. The first thing he does is he calls Ross and says, "Hey, why don't you come with Arkansas State with me? You know, we've been junior college coaches. We've been friends for a long time. Let's go build Arkansas State." Well, they went there for 1 year, and then North Texas hired them as a package deal away from Arkansas State. And so then for the last 6 years, they were together at North Texas. And I think it was the second year they were there, Grant just completely turned over the defensive side of the floor to Ross. And he always kind of described them as co-head coaches. So Ross had a ton to do with their success. So once McCaslin was on the way out the door to go to Texas Tech, I mean, you know, it made a heck of a lot of sense. And then in the press conference, you know, Jared said, "This wasn't really a hard decision for me. You know, this was the obvious thing to do." And they didn't waste any time. They just turned around and gave it to Ross. So the question with him, I think, and I think it's one that'll work out well, is he hasn't really been a head coach since, at least not officially, you know, filled the big chair since he was in junior college. So he's getting his first shot to, you know, be a head coach at the Division One level. And, you know, I think it'll work out really well for him, but that's kind of the question heading into this next year. You know, it's the obvious thing to do, but, you know, how does it work out?
Sure. So North Texas came to Coke Arena in 2021, and Shocker fans got an up-close look at that defensive effort you're talking about. North Texas defeated the Shockers 62-52, really had a great defensive stand in the second half. What does Mean Green basketball look like under Ross Hodge?
I don't think it changes a lot, because I think Ross had a ton of influence and a ton of, you know, he wasn't the head coach, but he was really instrumental in what they did. So I don't think that what they do is going to change at all. I think it's going to be a matter of whether or not they can put together the roster to have the success and continue the success that they did. And I think they got really a chance to do that. You know, he hired in Jace Hurl and, who was at Missouri State, who's an up and coming assistant coach. And then he brought in the former coach of Texas A&M in Kingsville. And, so he got some good assistants in there to help him. And they'll still be the same thing they all have always been, a real defensive oriented team. They run that same system that Texas Tech did before Grant got there. You know, they run paint touches, no middle defense, that kind of thing that is kind of familiar if you've watched Texas Tech play back in the day. So they're real tough to score on, and they'll be that same type of team. The question will be, okay, can you get the same level of players that's in there to have success in the American that you had success with last year? Because they had Tyler Perry was the MVP of the NIT. Abu is a really good player. You know, they had some other guys in there that were pretty instrumental that some of them would come back, some of them won't. And you just wonder if they'll be able to, you know, replicate having that same chemistry and mix and talent level to compete in the American, I think is the question.
So as a Valley member, North Texas basketball was not much of a factor at all, but it's had a good run here the last 15 years or so. Johnny Jones had some success, and then Grant McCaslin was a regular 20-game winner. Anything in particular behind the success of these last 15, 16 years for that school?
I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that they've had some really good coaches, and then they've really, you know, they've made some pretty significant investments in there. The thing that I always point to is if you count back, I mean, Grant had six great years, right? So he was there 6 years, and they were really good all six of those years, and they averaged more than 20 wins. and they went to a couple of, you know, they went to the NCAA tournament, they won the NIT, and then they had that interim period for the, for 5 years where they had Tony Benford, who's now an assistant coach at TCU, and they were absolutely horrendous. You know, they made, you know, so for that 5 years, they're really bad. But if you go back the 6 years before that, you know, Coach Jones would average more than 20 wins a year and took them to two NCAA tournaments and was like a buzzer beater and a real close call away from going to two more, you know, and that guy's a really good coach. Now he's taken Texas Southern to three straight NCAA tournaments. So if you think about it, if you look back at the 6, 5, and 6, so you look at the last 17 years, I mean, every year that they weren't coached by Tony Benford, they were really good. So, and over that course of that time, they put in a small basketball practice facility. That's really nice over there. They converted an old high school gym that they bought a campus of a private high school at one point several years ago that was across the street, 'cause that private school went to a new, campus on another part of town, but it was right across the street from the university. So they bought, the university bought that and it turned it into an athletic campus. Well, they turned the old gym there into a basketball practice facility. So that was a big investment. And then they renovated the super pit and then they renovated the locker room. So they made some significant investments and they made two really good coaching hires in there. And those two coaching hires and Coach Jones and Coach McCaslin really helped them elevate the program to where they're a pretty consistent, you know, winner.
So one program that is not going through a coaching change is the softball program. Rodney DeLong has built that into a consistent winner, NCAA regional a couple years ago. Tell us about softball and how it might fit in the American.
Yeah, that's another good one. You know, they had some success back in the day, under a coach that's at UTEP now. And then they had a real, you know, a really bad go of it for about 5, 6 years under a coach they brought in from East Carolina, Tracy Key, who turned out to be just a disastrous hire. And then she was here for a few years and then ended up getting fired. And the interesting thing that they did at that point was, a lot of these coaches that they brought in, it's kind of been a strategy of them. They've been looking for people that have connections in Texas, which are important here, and have had some success at lower levels and things like that. So that after they fired Tracy Key, or she resigned, I think it was officially, there was a guy who had been a baseball coach in Oklahoma and then went to softball in Oklahoma, you know, and then had some success on the high school level, then jumped to college. And then he was at Austin Peay for 1 year and they're really good. His name's Rodney DeLong. And so he'd just been at Austin Peay for a year, but he had some success there and took him to like the softball NIT. And they decided to hire him, and he's been another really good hire. You know, he came in here and immediately turned the program around. They've been consistently winning, and they went to the first NCAA tournament that they'd ever been to, not this last year, but the year before. And you know, they made it all the way to the final up in Stillwater before losing to Oklahoma State, you know, one game short of the Super Regional. And then this year they're really good again. And ended up falling just short of getting back to the NCAA tournament, but they were in the mix for the regular season conference title and the conference tournament title. So, you know, he's been really successful, and they've made some investments in terms of upgrading their facilities and things like that. And they're bringing back a lot of their really good players, so they should be pretty solid going forward as long as Rodney, you know, continues to stick around, which, you know, he has so far.
I think that has the potential to be a thing in the American. I know Wichita State and North Texas they've played several times recently in tournaments, and I'm sure they recruit some of the same people overlapping there in Texas and Oklahoma. North Texas has a great men's golf history, which I wasn't aware of until a few days ago. Won 4 NCAA titles, runner-up 3 times. So that'd be something interesting for Shocker fans to keep tabs on. What else should Shocker fans know about the other sports at North Texas?
Well, you bring up the big one. Men's golf was like a really, really good program back in the day, and, you know, and had that run where they won all those tournament titles in a row.
That was in the 50s, I believe.
Yeah, it was in the 50s. Yeah, because I'm looking back here. So And actually, you bring it up and bring up an interesting point, because Don January just passed away this spring at 93. Don January was a longtime PGA Tour player that played in North Texas, but he was on those three straight national on their four straight national championship teams. So they won four straight championships in the late 40s and early 50s. And, you know, Billy Maxwell was on those teams, Joe Conrad, but Don January was another one of those guys. And he just recently passed away. Actually, North Texas has an annual fundraiser golf tournament named after Don January. And they're in the market for a new coach. The their current coach, or the coach last season, Brad Strachey, just recently left the program. But they recently invested in there's a booster that's super interested in golf, gave them a bunch of money. They just opened an on-campus practice facility, and then they've got some partnerships with they've got a home course in the area that they play on, so down the road a little bit. And then their women's golf team's really good. They've gone to the regionals. I think they just won their third straight conference championship. So they've been remarkably consistent. That's one of those things that North Texas is, you know, really, really good in, is women's golf. And, you know, so the idea here is hopefully they'll find somebody that can you know, help them get to the same level. Yeah, it was the third straight. They won three in a row in Conference USA. So they're looking for somebody that can help them, you know, have the success on the men's side that they have had on the women's here in recent years.
North Texas, one of the six schools joining the American Athletic Conference on July 1st. Brett Vito of the Denton Record Chronicle has given us some background, some history, the update on North Texas. Brett, we appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk! The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16! It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jeffrey by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16.